Our text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, particularly this exhortation of the Apostle Paul, be filled with the Spirit. Paul has been telling the congregation in Ephesus, telling us as a congregation this morning, that if you're a Christian, you are to walk worthy of the calling to which you're called. Now that is a challenge to those who are not Christians then. Are you a Christian? Some are looking at what it means to be a Christian this morning in a new way. Christianity explained Bible study groups in the church. We're looking at who is Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God. Why did he die on the cross? That he died for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus rose from the dead to put us in a right standing before God. What is grace? That's what we were looking at last week in one of the Christianity Explored groups. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved kindness and love towards us in Jesus Christ. And this week, God willing, we're going to be looking at what is repentance? What is faith? What does it mean to turn from your sins, to trust in Jesus Christ and wholly rely on him alone for your acceptance before God? There's another Christianity Explained group that's just starting looking at who is Jesus. So if you're wanting to know what does it mean to be a Christian, if you're not sure if you are a Christian, have a word with me. It'd be good for you to join a Bible study group so that you have an assurance what it means to be a Christian and what it means then to live as a Christian, which is what these verses that we're looking at this morning particularly focus on. Paul exhorts Christians not to live as unbelievers, not to walk in the futility of their mind, not given over to uncleanness and greediness, nor be imitators of God as dear children, Paul says. And then, Paul telling every Christian that he wrote to when he wrote this letter to the Christians in Ephesus long ago, to every Christian here this morning, be filled with the Spirit. The New Testament knows nothing of Christians who are strangers to God, the Holy Spirit. The Christian life begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. The strength to put your first foot on the rung of the Christian ladder is by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you turn in faith to Jesus Christ and you turn from a sinful life based on yourself. If you've not been born again of the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian yet. No one can call Jesus Lord. You cannot bear the name of Christian without the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you hear the phrase that people use, a born again Christian. Well, you cannot be a Christian unless you have been born again. Listen to Jesus speaking to a religious man called Nicodemus long ago. Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus said to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. There was a famous preacher called George Whitfield. He used to preach many sermons on that text, John chapter 3, verse 7. You must be born again. And someone once asked him, apparently at the end of one of the services where he had preached again on that text, Mr. Whitfield, why do you keep preaching on this text, John chapter 3, verse 7? You must be born again. George Whitfield thought for a moment. He turned to the man, he said, I preach on this text so often because Jesus said, you must be born again. And that pattern is revealed to us in Acts chapters 1 and 2, where the Christian life begins with the work of the Holy Spirit convicting people of their sins, giving faith and repentance, and then a transformed life of worship and love centered on Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enables believers to continue in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The founder members of this church in Ephesus were asked the most basic of all questions, when Paul first visited that city. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The answer was that they'd been followers of the teaching of John the Baptist. They had moved to Ephesus, taking John the Baptist's teaching with them, but they had not even heard of the Holy Spirit. Paul's response was to preach to them about Jesus Christ. And as they believed, as they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior King, they were baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon them. So Paul can write to them in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Christ you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So Paul does not say to the Christians in Ephesus, some of you are sealed. No, he says, new birth, regeneration, being born again. This work of the Holy Spirit is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the life of every believer. And not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Every believer, all the Church of Jesus Christ, has the seal of the Holy Spirit, the confirmation of God's intention that he will take to completion the work that he begins in the heart. This is the great beginning experience, the initiatory experience of God, the Holy Spirit. Paul says, now you have received the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. You've been sealed with the Spirit. Now be filled with the Spirit. He's speaking of something ongoing and continuous. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. So if you're driving your car and you see the warning light flashing on the dashboard, you see the needle going down towards empty, you're nearing empty, you're going to run out of fuel, you need to be aware that the car needs filling up. In the spiritual realm, if you're leaving your first love, if you're losing your warmth to God, if you're becoming lukewarm, if you're grieving the Spirit, or if you're quenching the Spirit, or if you're resisting the Spirit, stop drifting away from God. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. Don't try to go on empty. And you notice that the Apostle Paul is not saying, wait for God the Holy Spirit to do something to you. No, he says, you, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command to obey. Like all the commands in this section, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Understand what the will of God is. Verse 18, do not be drunk with wine. Verse 19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verse 20, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submit to one another in the fear of God. Just as all those commands, so this command then, be filled with the Spirit. We take steps to ensure not to get drunk with wine. We don't spend hours crying out to God, don't let me be drunk with wine. Rather, we avoid ungodly companions who would lead us into drunkenness. We avoid temptations to drunkenness. We take steps to ensure we don't get drunk. So take steps to ensure that you keep on being filled with the Spirit. So if you're a Christian and you're not maturing and loving and witnessing and praying and worshipping as a Christian, you need to turn back to God. You need a living, growing, ongoing relationship with the Lord who is the Spirit. Jesus says to you this morning, be filled with the Spirit. So the first question that might come to your mind is, how can you keep on being filled with the Spirit then? So I want to ask three questions, and that's the first. How can you keep on being filled with the Spirit? Listen to these words of Jesus from Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, those words in their original setting were not primarily addressed to the unbeliever. They're addressed to Christians seeking to be filled with the Spirit. Why do I say that? I say that because of verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So these are people who are already Christians, they're already saved, they're already known forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. They already have the Holy Spirit, yet they are to keep on asking for the Spirit. They're to keep on seeking the filling of the Spirit. They are to do so with all the earnestness of a hungry person wanting food. If you're a Christian, you cannot do without the Holy Spirit. The Christian needs more and more of the Spirit. And the only way you can ensure that you're keeping on being filled with the Spirit is to be always coming to your Heavenly Father. Ask, seek, knock. Well, think of this exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Let me read some verses to you from John 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, says Jesus Christ. If you want to bear fruit, if you want to keep on being filled with the Spirit, if you're joined by faith to Jesus Christ, stay in that relationship with him, stay trusting in him, stay committed to Jesus Christ as your great Savior, King, and your greatest friend. Abide in him. For example, in a marriage, the husband cannot pretend one night a week that he's single and go off with his friends and run after other women. Let him abide in his marriage. Husbands, abide in your marriage. Make sure that commitment stays strong and firm. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So as a husband is to abide in his marriage, so the Christian is to abide in Christ. Or think of the cross of discipleship and self-denial, which you take up when you begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You take up the cross when you start the Christian life, when you first put your trust in Jesus Christ. You deny yourself, you say no to self and pride, you put all your trust in Jesus Christ to live for him. But then, take up the cross daily, says Jesus. Abide in me, Jesus says. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the only perfect example of one who never deviated into sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was given that cup, the Father set before him the cup of God's righteous anger against our sins. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. But he continued to humble himself even to the death of the cross. He abode in his Father's love. Well, we must abide in him. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on presenting your body to God, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Keep on abiding in Christ. Keep on walking worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Keep on putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind in true righteousness and holiness. You don't put your trust in Jesus Christ when you first become a Christian and then forget about him. Trust, cling, rest, rely upon him through thick and thin. Abide in Christ. The Bible talks about what are called the public and the private means of grace. How can you abide in Christ? How can you know more and more of this filling of the Spirit? Well, there are private means of grace. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to be filled with the Spirit. There are public means of grace. That's why we meet here on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. That's why we have a Bible study and a prayer meeting. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper from time to time. These are means of grace. Keep on being filled with the Spirit in the private and in the public means of grace. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, no more can you unless you abide in Christ. So continue to be filled with the Spirit. So that's the first question. How can you keep on being filled with the Spirit? The second question, how do you know if a person is filled with the Spirit? Well, this passage gives us some very challenging indications. Chapter 5, verse 16. Redeem the time. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, not wasting the time, but redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The word redeem means buying back something that's been lost, so you can use it positively instead of negatively. That's what Christians who are filled with the Spirit do with their time. What time? The time that we have in this world. If your time is given over to godlessness and disobedience and hopelessness, you're not redeeming the time. Redeem the time. Use it for God's purposes rather than the futile purposes of this world. If your time is mainly pursuing the things of this world, TV, social media, computer games, that would be foolishness. Rather, redeem the time for the glory of Jesus Christ, for speaking and living the gospel, for living according to the plan and purposes of God in his manifold wisdom. So Christians have time management skills, but not time management in the way the world thinks of it. Not time management just to kick back and relax and put your feet up and do nothing. Rather, redeem the time in this evil age for the glory of Jesus Christ and the spread of the gospel. So, are we wise in the way we use our time? For example, do you make prayer a priority? Not just knowing in your mind this morning that prayer is important, but by making costly decisions to put other things aside so you can pray. I exhort people to do that week by week in the prayer meeting. Put other things aside to pray. Make good use of the time. Don't let pings and emails and mobile phone messages control you. Some let that even control them when they're in church. Well, that's not redeeming the time. Switch the phone off. Don't let the TV control you. Don't let the mobile phone control you. Don't let social media control you. Review your walk with God. Redeem the time. Or another part of this passage, understand the will of God. Therefore, verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul urges his readers here, as he speaks of the manifold wisdom of God, to say God's will isn't just something you intellectually think about. When you grasp God's will, it challenges you, it changes your life. You understand God's will when God gets hold of you and transforms your life. And you haven't really understood God's will until God has got hold of you like that. Has saved you, forgiven you your sins, but is making a difference in your life day by day, trusting in Jesus Christ. It drills down to the nitty-gritty details of life. And none of us has all the details of our life fully sorted out yet. But keep growing in this area, understanding what the will of the Lord is. More Christ-likeness, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So redeem the time. Understand the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, wastefulness. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's a great contrast. Drunkenness leads to extravagant behavior, to violence, to lack of self-control, to exaggerated self-confidence. Being filled with the Spirit does none of those things. You think of what was said to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, that they were drunk. But you read Acts 2, read the sermon that Peter preached, full of logic and biblical theology. Peter spoke with courage and clarity and application. Drunks never speak like that. There's nothing destructive in the experience of God, the Holy Spirit. It's very misleading to speak of men and women as God intoxicated or Spirit intoxicated. As if the height of spirituality is that men and women lose all their inhibitions. Spirit-filled men and women do not lose self-control. They don't lose all their inhibitions. They don't manifest the spiritual life by falling on the floor, by chanting or stamping their feet. That's lost all connection with the Bible, which tells us, present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice in reasonable service. Spirit-filled men and women behave decently and with order. They practice a love which is aware of other people and their needs. The filling of the Spirit sharpens your mind. The very last thing the Holy Spirit does is to make you unfit to live for Christ in this world. So redeem the time, understand the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk. It's a big challenge in a society where drunkenness is so common among so many in our society at this time. Don't get drunk. Sing and make melody in the heart. Paul describes the Spirit-filled life in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you praise the Saviour and magnify Jesus Christ as your prophet, priest and king? Do you rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you sing of his free salvation? Are you conscious of others as you sing? Speaking to one another. We teach and admonish one another as we sing. There must be doctrine and truth in what we sing. There's a concern to edify others, but also there's melody in the heart. We sing to God as well as to others. Now, because music is so powerful, there are dangers associated with it. Music can be used to manipulate, to bypass the mind. And that happens when the music itself, rather than the truth of the gospel, if the music dominates repetition or volume or other musical devices, and the words become largely irrelevant, we need to resist that danger. But singing is a powerful and effective way to praise God and to learn theology. Singing the truth about God and his salvation drives the truth deep into mind and heart. So sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of you, in your daily devotions, sing a psalm, sing a song, sing a hymn. Speak the truth of God and learn that truth as you sing it. Sing and make melody in the heart. Redeem the time, understand the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk. Sing and make melody in the heart. Give thanks. The Spirit-filled man or woman is characterized by thankfulness, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks even in difficult times, in times of unanswered prayer, times of bad news, times of difficult events. David could walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Job could cope with personal grief, the almost unbearable grief of the death of his children, the loss of his health, the bitterness of his wife. Paul, even as he wrote New Testament letters, was chained to a soldier in prison. He was facing a very uncertain future, and yet he could say he had learned in whatever state he was in to be content. So redeem the time. Understand the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk. Sing and make melody in the heart. Give thanks. Submit to others. This is a great mark of the Spirit-filled life, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Do you have to always get your own way? If you don't get your own way, do you threaten to quit? The Spirit-filled man or woman is willing to submit his or her own interests to the interests of others. Paul is constantly calling us back to Jesus Christ, who was filled with the Spirit, who did not look on the things of himself as primary, but on the things of others. He took the form of a servant and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So there are indications right through this chapter. How do you keep on being filled with the Spirit? How do you know if a person is filled with the Spirit? Thirdly, how do you cope in times of crisis, times of trial? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But a few days later, Peter was facing a time of crisis. A few days later, Acts 4 verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter again filled with the Holy Spirit. There are times of trial, times of difficulty, times of crisis when believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter had been filled with the Spirit to preach the word of God to thousands on the day of Pentecost. That was essential. Peter needed the Holy Spirit's empowering. But a few days later, he's facing another crisis. The Sanhedrin, which a little earlier had put Jesus to death, held a special meeting, seized Peter and John, put them in prison. And Peter was given this extraordinary courage and wisdom to confront the injustice of the Sanhedrin. He was filled with the Spirit. And that was exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ had promised. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And that was fulfilled in Peter before the Sanhedrin. The Spirit filled Peter's mind and heart and will and emotions. So he was strengthened. He looked them in the eye. He lifted up his voice and said, salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It was a time of crisis. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. There are times of crisis. A family goes through a time when a member of the family has a terminal illness. A Christian loses a job and a stream of income is gone. You're being interviewed by the police or by a Home Office official. You're under pressure. A sudden emergency arises. And in that time of crisis and that nervousness, there is this need, and God, in his grace, fills the believer with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who enables the believer to cope with the emergency, to carry the burden, to overcome the temptation, to endure the pain, to keep trusting in Jesus Christ through the difficulty. We do not rely on natural strength or resources. The Holy Spirit coming to the Christian in a time of need, filling the Christian so the Christian can count it all joy and keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So as we draw these threads together of the work of the Holy Spirit, where Paul says, Christian, be filled with the Spirit of God entered your life at the point of new birth, at the beginning of salvation. If you're not yet a Christian this morning, you need to be born again of the Spirit. You need the convicting, converting power of the Holy Spirit, that you will turn in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God who worked in your heart to turn you from sin to trust in Jesus Christ when you are lost. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit seals you. You cannot be lost if you've truly trusted in Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers you to witness to others, gifts you for service for Christ, comforts you in difficult times and in times of crisis, enables you to worship and rejoice in salvation this morning. So this exhortation, if you're a Christian, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Never stop being filled with the Spirit. Never stop hungering for God the Spirit. Never stop thirsting for the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Ask, seek, knock, abide in Christ. Make use of the private means of grace. Read the Bible. Pray every day. Make use of the public means of grace. Come to the Lord's Supper tonight. Keep on, moment by moment, day after day. Christian, keep on being filled with the Spirit. And as we do so, ask, seek, knock, abide in Christ. And as we abide in Christ and ask and seek and knock, if we are evil and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning for the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the heart and life, the Spirit who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, the Spirit who teaches us to rely entirely upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation, the Spirit we need constantly to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Oh Lord, we pray that as we come to you this morning, we may know this enabling power, this filling of God, the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, that we are tempted to resist or quench or drift away from God. Quench the Spirit, resist the Spirit. We pray that you'd give us this holy hunger after God, the Holy Spirit, in heart and life. And that this will be our earnest desire to keep on being filled with the Spirit. So, Lord, we cry out, hear us from heaven. Grant us your Holy Spirit's power and help. We are weak and needy. We thank you for the mighty emboldening and empowering work of God the Holy Spirit. So enter every trembling heart. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to sing as a closing hymn, this hymn, Fill Me Now, O Blessed Spirit. It's to a tune. The tune may not be, some will know it, but it may not be known by everybody. So can you just play the tune through? We'll listen to the tune. It's called Sicilian Mariners, Sailors from Sicily. That's the tune, which is an unusual name for a tune. But we'll stay sitting, listen to the tune, and then we'll stand and sing it. Fill me now, O Blessed Spirit. So thanks for the tune. Stand. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion of God, the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, not only today, but even for evermore, world without end. Amen. Amen.